Good news, everyone!
It's Jake Z. Lee.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great! Everybody else sucks!
Let's get dangerous!
Yes, sir, random kid I just met!
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list!
Hooray! People are paying attention for me.
It's all in football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No. Burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is week 10 rankings of the fantasy football season. Week 10 already. It is All in Football. It is Chris Meany. It is myself. Follow Chris Meany at Chris Meany. Got a lot of good hockey picks for you. And hey, my Rangers are doing good. That's fun.
Rangers are doing really good. Yeah.
I have a professional team I can care about. It's so crazy. They don't disappoint for a change. And also, I'm at All In Kid. And over at FTN, code All In gets you 20% off. As always, we have a lot of people back in week 10, Chris Meany. We also have probably, it could be either my favorite or second most favorite rankings fun list of the year over at The Athletic, because it was the top 20 soundtracks for video games. You have to know number one. I know you don't get the like, oh, I don't play that many video games. I don't do that. Like, come on. You have to know. You're on the show. What was number one? Actually, what was not even a number one? It was in its own place, singular, greatest of all time. And then we start number one with Super Mario Brothers.
I feel like you're, well, I thought maybe Super Mario Brothers, Ninja Turtles, but you're
they're
a
one.
Guy.
No, Ninja Zelda's Turtles two.
One. Ninja Turtles
no.
One.
No. Super Mario Brothers 1.
Okay.
Zelda 2.
Zelda 2.
Definitively all-time best of all everything that could be. It's on this damn show. We opened the show with one of the songs from it. DuckTales. DuckTales, dude. Yeah. Say it.
No, I know that. DuckTales. But am I dreaming? Is there a movie coming out? Did I hear that?
No, they've been doing that. No.
Maybe do some research?
I made like a couple of fan-made videos. That's what you're watching.
No, I don't think so. I think that there's some sort of Zelda movie coming out. I think that they got the green light a couple days ago. I'm pretty sure I heard that. Fox said yes.
Yeah.
Live action was just announced. Okay.
Yeah, they were rumoring that like 4 years ago before COVID even hit. Like, I don't buy it until I see it. This has been happening forever. At some point, maybe. If so, why didn't I get a phone call to be in this damn thing? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Agent on the phone. All right. Speaking of being in things, how about this? Well, for a transition, being back in your lineup, Kyler Murray is back, Chris Meany. Finally, after all this time, we joked about the fact that the Cardinals sacrificed Clayton Toon to the Wolves and traded away Joshua Dobbs, and it was just disgusting. It was like what it was. And the reason I bring that up, jokes aside, is because if it was clearly Kyler Murray's first game, and if it was clearly like, ooh, he might not be 100%. There's like a debate of do you even go down to Joshua Dobbs himself or Kyler Murray in his first game back. But Meany, as the world seems to be assuming the same thing, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm going in with the fact that Kyler Murray was ready 2 weeks ago. And they just said, let's pause, let's hold off, let's not get him killed against these defenses, and let's wait until after the Browns, and then we'll bring you back. You get a little extra time, we open the window, we don't have to force the issue. So I'm going with that theory, and with that theory, I will tell you, Kyler Murray checks in at number 10 for me this week. Where are you on Kyler Murray if you needed a quarterback and you mustached him?
Yeah, I got him at 12, but I think the only difference between our rankings is Purdy and Lawrence, but I can see, I mean, Kyler's got the higher ceiling than those two guys. It's clear. I mean, he had fantasy points per game. He was a top 10 quarterback last year. So I think there's a little bit of risk, but I agree with you that they were doing him a solid and saving him for a couple weeks. We talked about this on the SiriusXM show. Why throw him against the Browns? Throw him. Hey, here you go. Instead, they decided to throw the rookie Clayton Toon against Cleveland, which didn't work out. But they protected their investment in Kyler, which is their franchise quarterback. And maybe this guy is traded in the offseason. But the ceiling is just too high to completely ignore him. Like he's definitely a top 12 quarterback this week.
Well, so let's talk about the two you debated between. Oh, by the way, I forgot. Maybe we're wearing a Mega Man shirt because of the top 20 soundtracks. Mega Man's top five of all time. Actually, Mega Man 2 could be a top five by itself. But anyway, let's go to Trevor Lawrence facing the 49ers. Why? I'm like, I don't want to have Trevor Lawrence face the 49ers. Trevor Lawrence has basically been a floor quarterback this year. It's like every single week, QB 12. Okay. So are you playing it that way? Like, you just know Trevor Lawrence is going to be okay even against the 49ers? Because I have concerns. And as much as we're not talking wide receiver right this second, but would Zay Jones affect your rankings of Trevor Lawrence? Like, honestly, like, because we've done this before. I put it in the column. It's been there the entire year since week 2. We don't have to keep saying this, but let's remind everybody, if Zay Jones is out there, Calvin Ridley's good if Zay Jones is out there. Because it's Ridley, Zay, Kirk. If there is no Zay Jones, it's Kirk, and then Ridley's basically, he's like George Pickens' world. You might get like 2 points, you might get 12, and that's about it. But would that affect your ranking and why Trevor Lawrence against the 49ers?
It's such a small sample size of all those guys being on the field, but I do agree that that's probably how it'll happen. I mean, we've only seen maybe 6 quarters of it so far this season with all 3 of those guys and Ingram healthy. I don't know. Like, I started to see a little bit of an uptick in this offense heading into the bye, coming out of the bye. The 49ers, like, I like their defense clearly, but their secondary has just been so-so over the past couple of weeks. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks, like Dobbs had a decent game against them throwing the ball around. Stafford had a decent game throwing the ball around. They've lost 3 straight football games. So I'm not saying I love Trevor Lawrence here. I definitely think Kyler has the higher ceiling, but his quarterback 12 and, you know, probably hanging around the waiver wire. I know he was on the waiver wire in a couple of my leagues. There's no Tua. There's no Hurts. There's no Mahomes. I think it's just okay. But yeah, I like him more. If Zay Jones can play, of course I'm going to like Trevor Lawrence a little bit more. It's just like another added weapon for him. And does he have 2 touchdowns in 6 quarters? So
yeah,
he's clearly definitely one of the go-to guys for Tila.
Okay, well then let's bring another quarterback in this conversation. And let me go up to this game so I make sure I have the stats correct for you, because we mentioned it last week, kind of got glossed over, and you know, just like, oh, okay, that's interesting, mostly because you weren't thinking about starting the quarterback against them last week. And that was the New York Giants. So New York Giants, second lowest completion percentage over expectation on the year since week 4 on the year. And so just week 4. I don't know why I included it on the year.
on the year.
Yeah, they're only behind the Ravens. Now, you might say, okay, well, they just faced Aiden O'Connell and they just faced Zach Wilson the week before that. But before that, if you want to go from week 4, Geno, Tua, Josh Allen, Sam Howell, and then Zach Wilson and Aiden O'Connell. So before they even hit the Jets and the Raiders, I had brought this up to you last week and the week before, that the Giants' pass defense had really taken a step forward. The loss in the trade of Leonard Williams, again, it's hard to evaluate. They faced Aiden O'Connell. But Dak Prescott's been on a roll. Is Dak Prescott inside the top 10 ahead of Kyler Murray, ahead of big names like, I mean, I call him a big name because he hit for us, but Sam Howell, who's actually leading the league in yards per game since week 5 over everybody, 300 yards per game. But here's who I have Dak Prescott in front of: CJ Stroud, Lamar Jackson, who's not been good for a while for fantasy purposes, Justin Fields in his first game back. Is that too high for Dak?
No, I don't think so, man. I have him the same. I have him as a top 5 quarterback, and this game could get ugly just like it did in week 1 when it was a 40-point beatdown. I mean, your Giants, you talk about your Rangers, they may average more points per game than the Giants here in the next couple of months. Hockey versus football, yikes.
You think that's funny? Funny how? Funny haha? For everybody that knows, Tommy DeVito in Goodfellas, that was the character Joe Pesci played.
So good, yeah. But the defense, to your point, again, the secondary is something that we also talked about on this show and on Sirius. The secondary's been playing some good football. It just, they haven't been able to stop the run and they can't score any points. So I think Dak, like, it's not going to be 44. He threw the ball, 44, 45 times against the Eagles? Yeah, I don't.
He threw it 51 times the week before that. It's not going to stop. Oh, you said Dak. I'm sorry, Sam Howell.
Dak. Sam Howell will continue to check. Dak, he probably, if I'm projecting pass attempts for him, he's maybe mid-20s, but he could have a game where he's 18 for 21 and 3 passing touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb can't be stopped at the moment. Tony Pollard's had 1 game with a touchdown, and it came week 1 against your Giants. So I think everybody can kind of eat here. They're 17-point favorites. I would play Dak over Kyler, yeah.
You want to know a crazy stat, by the way, speaking of Tony Pollard? running backs with 5+ goal line attempts. So for everybody out there that's inside the five, goal to go is inside the 10, you know, in case you can't get a first down. Inside the five is goal line. They can, like, I would have thought goal line was more like the 3 and in, but I guess, you know, trying to get a little bit more attempts actually in the formulation or form, whatever. So inside the 5 goal line attempts, Tony Pollard, the 5th lowest touchdown success rate. He is 2-for-10 on the year. A.J. Dillon, Alvin Kamara, Damian Pierce are all converted 1-of-8. Do you know who the only running back in all of football is that's 0-of-7? 0 for all of his opportunities. At least 5+. Took forever for this. Think about the team trying to score a rushing touchdown that hasn't been able to, and he's 0-for-7.
Madison?
It is Madison. Cam Akers was the one that got the other one. He is 0-for-7.
Yeah, man, the Cowboys Nation really, really came at me about Tony Pollard because last year he had one game with over 20 carries. He was 3-for-8 in goal line attempts as well. So he struggled last year. He didn't struggle last year. That's what everybody said. And it's carried over into this season. They are 29th
you're not wrong.
In red zone touchdown percentage. They are 31st in goal to go touchdown percentage, and you saw it firsthand against the Eagles last week. They lived inside the red zone in that fourth quarter. They were inside the 10 or the 15 like 3 times, and they had 6 points. So maybe they missed Zeke. The short yardage pound them. Like, that's a goal line back, right? So Fox is sitting there as the Cowboys guy. He's like, yeah, they seem to miss that type of running back at the moment. So, I mean, Pollard, maybe he'll turn
it. Of all the RB1s that I had projected for the beginning, go back to the beginning of the season, I'm pretty sure, if not the lowest, he was one of the 2 lowest in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns, Tony Pollard. I was assuming, I think a lot of people were, like, the passing game would offset it a little bit more than it has. Sure. But that concern is definitely on display. I want to circle back. We're talking a lot of quarterbacks this week, but there's a lot that are in play and not in play. I mean, we have 3 huge ones on a bye this week. But on top of it, there's a lot of shifting factors. Justin Fields, that we're going to get to in a second. But Josh Allen, do we have concerns about Josh Allen? Because if not, let's throw out the rushing touchdowns. You can't. Josh Allen's probably going to run for 7 or 8 per year. But just for the sake of this point, the last 4 games, 169-2 against the Giants, by the way. 265-2 against the Patriots, 324-2 against Tampa Bay, and then 258-1 against Cincinnati, which was on display for the nation because it was an island game. Oh, yeah. And it's really started to make people concerned, because if you watch the passing game, there's concerns for Josh Allen. Now, of course, rushing touchdown, rushing touchdown, rushing touchdown the last 3 weeks has offset it in fantasy. But is there any concern for you, for Josh Allen? Like, if Josh Allen doesn't get a rushing touchdown, let's go back to the New York Giants game. 13.9 fantasy points for Josh Allen. That's miserable. So if he doesn't, actually, here's his 3 games. He's only got 3, and this is the thing, he's only got 3 games without a rushing touchdown. But week 1 against the Jets, 9 points. He did go bananas against the Raiders, but everybody goes bananas against the Raiders unless you're the Giants. 23.7, and then against the Giants, 13.9. So are you just going to bank that he's going to find his way into the end zone on the ground every single week?
I guess kind of, because James Cook is not that, they don't trust him that way, and they just have Latavius and what's Leonard Fournette. He's just a guy that's out there tweeting about him and
Stephon Diggs. If I wasn't working on the dogs and working, like, so I got the e-collar on Barkley and then prong collar on Coda, and we're working on, like, not barking and getting riled up for people coming in the house and people walking by. If I didn't have to, I would get up and right now run around the room victory lapping the James Cook thing. I'm just saying. I just want you to know. Pat Mayo told me I was stupid on a show for not having James Cook as a potential top 15 running back.
Yeah, it's part of Bills Nation too, but Bills Mafia drinking the James Cook Kool-Aid. Oh, he's going to get all the touches. He's super efficient. But again, it's just another example. I don't know if it's to the extent of Pollard, but it's just like a change of pace type of running back. It's just not a guy that I don't think can handle 20-plus carries running between the tackles, and clearly they don't trust him. It's very clear that they don't trust him inside the goal line with the addition of Latavius Murray, with the addition of Damian Harris, it didn't work out, and now Leonard Fournette, plus what you just said, 3 games in a row with a rushing touchdown, 6 of his last 7. I have concerns about Josh Allen from a real-life standpoint. Like, from this is going to be the reason that maybe not Josh Allen, but their defense mixed in with Josh Allen and how careless he is with the football.
Cash out your Super Bowl bets is what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, if you have any Bills Super Bowl bets, I mean, this is a team that is definitely missing Milano. They're definitely missing Tre'Davious White. I don't think that they're going to be able to go toe-to-toe. I mean, it's 2 games
now. So I'm glad you brought this up.
Can't go toe-to-toe with Baltimore or with Cincy or with KC.
Here you go.
Maybe Miami.
So the Bills actually have the second highest run stuff percentage since week four. Do you know who number one is? I mentioned it last week. I'm going to see if you're how good your memory is. It's a shocking team.
I think it was Chicago.
It is. The Chicago Bears are still, even after last week, they are still number one in run stuff percentage. Their run defense is really good, and it's just surprising because their pass defense is it's ostensibly bad. It's just so terrible. This is the Titans, essentially. They've turned into the Titans. You bring up the defense, but this is what I want to go to, is they actually have the most favorable pass EPA since week four. The most. They're ahead of the Cardinals. They're ahead of the Commanders. They are pass, because you just mentioned the pieces that they've lost. They haven't been able to get after the quarterback. Their secondary can't stop anybody. So let's pivot this into Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton coming off the bye. We could also, are you buying into the Marvin Mims thing? Sean Payton's lying to us again. I'm just ready for that. But yeah. Let's go down the ranks and kind of talk about, like, if you have a quarterback scenario where, like, we're waiting on, I don't know, like, Geno? Like, Geno versus Russ Wilson off the bye this week, I'm playing Russell Wilson.
I dig it. I dig the Russ call. I think it's in the same tier for me. I know Geno's been very, very disappointing, but this Commanders team has, you know, they check a lot of boxes. But if you're looking at fantasy points against and wide receivers and quarterbacks, touchdowns allowed through the air. But I think, again, what I'll go back to is this Bills defense. There's something wrong. Even that 7.5 spread, I was like, really? And I know.
Well, then let me throw out something in this scenario. Okay. Yeah. Real quick. Right now. This is as crazy as it is. This is the truth of what we're watching. Right now, who's playing better football, Geno Smith or Mac Jones? You weren't ready for that second. I know. I was watching your face. You were not ready for that.
No, I don't think Mac Jones is, but is another guy that I brought
up. Is it that big of a gap?
Couple games in a row with passing touchdowns. No, because Geno hasn't really thrown a lot of passing touchdowns. So I think if you're looking at it that way. But I think this is a get-right spot for Geno and the Seahawks to score some points against Washington. It should be a fun game. I think Howell could do the same thing on the other side. But I don't want to dive too much into what he did last week against the Ravens. I don't know. I think he can get right at home. More than him. I do like Russ more than him.
The reason I brought that up is because Geno and him are about averaging same fantasy points. And to go to Geno Smith, the last time Geno Smith had more than 14 points, it only happened once. At Detroit.
Early on.
He's Arizona, 219-2, and he had an interception. Cincinnati, 323-0. The Giants, 110-1. So, Carolina.
Probably the ceiling, 220-2. Not fantastic, but that seems like, even last year, he was a top 10 quarterback, but it didn't seem like he had a lot of ceiling games. He was just consistently, you know.
Efficient.
Yeah, efficient.
High touchdowns. Kind of like Jordan Love started this year, and Jordan Love has been terrible since week two. The touchdowns offset it in week two. I actually had somebody come for me and say, like, Jordan Love's been terrible, really? I guess 228 and a touchdown and a passer rating of 111 last week is not good.
Passer
like,
rating thing.
If that's your baseline for good is 228 and one touchdown, I'm sorry. I have about six quarterbacks that are trying to Zach Wilson, Daniel Jones, Mac Jones. Who else? Kenny Pickett. They're all going to be at your front door because they clearly don't need a lot to be good for you.
The passer rating, the QBR stuff, everything I heard from Jordan Love at the start of the season just it continues and continues and continues. This is a team that has one road win, and it came against Chicago. They don't score a lot of points. I think Geno just finishes roughly top 15 at the quarterback position because he's kind of sneaky on the ground, like 34, 21, 37, 39, 23 rushing yards. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it makes up for the games where he only passes for one touchdown. So, I mean, I'm not a big Jordan Love guy. I don't think
I know what you're at all. In just case anybody else meant. I don't think a lot of people will have this decision, but just in case, I actually saw Sam Howell's name thrown in the chat. I'm trying to scan. There's actually a lot. I appreciate all the chats today. I just haven't been able to keep up at this point. But Sam Howell is not a streamer. Sam Howell is, I don't know how many. Sam Howell preseason, Sam Howell week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I finally didn't have to include him in waivers this week, meaning because he finally passed 60%. He is not a streamer anymore. He is a QB1.
on the season.
He's 11 fantasy points per game. 11. It's QB1. And that's with two awful games. If you told me I didn't have to draft the quarterback, if you told me last round I got her Sam Howell right, we got Sam Howell right. We can victory lap the flipping hell out of this. We got Sam Howell right. And I get two bad games and the rest are like 20 points plus, I will do that every single time. Sign me up for it. That's why I'm bringing this up, because Sam Howell, CJ Stroud, and maybe even Jared Goff, you might have had this option. You might have been able to consider this. Versus Lamar Jackson, I mentioned his name a few seconds ago, or a few minutes ago now at this point, against Cleveland. Lamar Jackson, for fantasy purposes, look, real life is completely different. The Ravens are rolling. The defense is great. The run game is great. They don't need Lamar Jackson to throw the ball a lot. Zay Flowers does not have a single double-digit score this year. He's not throwing touchdowns. He doesn't need to. They run him in. He's not running as much as he used to. He's still running some. They don't need to. That's who they are. And that's what I brought up, and somebody got mad at me, and I'm like, no, they don't need Lamar Jackson to be the Lamar Jackson we want in fantasy. For that point against the Browns, I actually feel like seven's even high.
Yes, it does seem high.
It's the upside
there.
In your mind. It's the upside that he runs for 100 and a touchdown, that he gets, like, he finishes 1, 2, or 3, that, like, you paused. Objectively, that's too high given what he's done this year.
Back-to-back showings with sub-12 fantasy points. I will say against Cleveland, he had 28 fantasy points, and that's just mixed in with the ceiling that he brings to the table. If he rushes one in, he's going to live in that 20 range. But, yeah, we've been talking about this Cleveland Browns defense all year long. It is absolutely legit. You can make the case it's the best defense in all of football, right there with the Ravens. If it's not, yeah.
He did run for two touchdowns in that
Baltimore.
Game.
Exactly. And that's the ceiling. I mean, we're not talking about sitting him, but we're just saying where he's ranked, and even like if people that are playing DFS.
Here, let me put this to you.
Sneaky play.
Serious scenario here. Let's say you have a pretty strong team, and because I like if your team's weak and you just need pure upside, obviously there's no quarterback that's probably better than Lamar Jackson for pure upside. Because if he runs for two touchdowns, throws 300 yards and two touchdowns, like forget about it. He's somebody who can score 40 plus points. But you have a solid team, and we'll get the cliche we get. It's about week 10, so we're gonna start getting a lot of these, Meanie. I have to win. It's a must-win week. Every week's a must-win. Please don't say that to me. Every week. You don't ever want to lose a game. It's not like, week 3, throw it away. Week 6, throw that one away, too. I don't care. But let's just say you've started off 3-6. You know, you're kind of on that cusp of, you know, one more loss, I'm really going to be behind the eight ball. I'm kind of done. Like, must-win scenario, you have a decent team. You have a strong team. You, Chris Meanie, you're setting your lineup. Do you put Sam Howell or Lamar Jackson at quarterback?
I would put Lamar.
How about this?
Conversation with myself. Jared Goff, I think, is deserving to be in that conversation too against this.
Well, I have Jared Goff at 4 this week.
Yeah, like
Jared Goff has one outdoor game the rest of the year. Well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm not impressed with the Chargers' defense score. I mean, I got burned in two leagues on Monday night because they scored 27 fantasy points. What the heck? Lost by a point in both my leagues. But I'm not impressed with the Chargers defense putting up that showing against Zach Wilson. Like, Jared Goff should be able to toss a couple touchdowns against this secondary. So, I have him ranked ahead of Lamar.
Okay. Would you do the C.J. Stroud versus Lamar Jackson?
I probably would play Lamar there too, but it's I have him one spot behind Lamar. Man, CJ is another guy that I think, you know, we were certainly right about. We've been talking about him since week one immediately. The passing attempts have been there for him every game. They have no run game to think of. This Bengals defense has been a little bit better.
So since we got this Damian Pierce back and forth, 100% of the touches, not 100% of the touches, blah, blah, blah. And I bring this up because since week 6, so it's only a few weeks, it's not the entire season, but I bring this up because D'Amico Ryans said he wants to pass more if we're going to see what happens continues. He admitted, he's like, run game sucks right now. Well, here's how bad it sucks, Chris Meanie. No, here's how bad it sucks. Yeah. Week 6, when the split happened and Damian Pierce hitting last week, they are last and second to last in all 43 qualified running backs, 20 touches minimum, and yards per touch. That's yards per touch, not rush, per touch. This is because I say this because you want these numbers. This is how bad it is per touch. It's 3.3 and 3.2. They are 42nd to 43rd out of 43 running backs in yards per touch.
And I don't think it turns around. I can't see it turning around at all.
Would you start Damian Pierce or Zach Moss this week?
I don't really want to start Zach Moss, but I would play him over Damian Pierce. Yeah.
Would you? Oh, man. Would you play Chuba Hubbard?
Like, I think it's over for Zach Moss.
I don't think it's quite over. I think some of that was the game, too. I mean, I think it's over in the fact of, like, being like, hey, just go ahead and throw Zach Moss in there.
He's, like, seven touches a game the rest of the
week. Zach Moss is not Tyler Allgeier. You might get 7 for 30.
Goal line work?
You
might not going to get the goal line work, though.
Yeah. You never know. You might get a touch or two.
They're smart at Indy. They'll give it to Taylor. They don't want to give Bijan the goal line work. He's got one goal line carry all year long. I saw Andrew Beck has 3 goal line carries. He's a tight end for the Broncos.
Arthur Smith is the devil. I'm just letting you know that. Like,
what the hell is, I think he'll get fired.
The greatest trick the devil played is telling us that he wasn't Arthur Smith. It's like this. Jerome Ford against the Ravens or Damian Pierce?
I'll probably play Ford. Hope he catches a couple passes. I'm really sour on this Houston run game. I mean, you just gave some of the numbers, but the fact that Singletary's been getting some carries as well. I don't know how healthy Damian Pierce is at the moment. I know the offensive line's gotten a little bit better, but I don't know. And another guy too. Like, I know this is a tough spot, but Kareem Hunt is not going away. It's
did we just lose your audio?
Straight
me?
Games. Am I gone?
Oh no, your audio went out. I was just making sure it wasn't me. Did it? That was your audio.
Okay.
Yeah.
You froze on me, and I thought you were gone for a second, so I don't know.
Well, who is it?
We're both here. We're both back. We're both
who's freezing? That's the question. Who's frozen today on All in Football?
Anyways, I would lean with the Browns backs. Kareem Hunt's in that picture for me. I actually have Hunt ahead of
as well? All right. Then let's, how many minutes? We're about 25 minutes into the show and bury the lead on this one. Talk about it. Keaton Mitchell, everybody. There we go. It only took us this long to finally get to it. Everybody's like, just talk some freaking Keaton Mitchell, everybody. I broke it down on waivers. I'm just going to give you my opinion in case anybody missed the waiver show, in case anybody missed the waiver column. I'm just going to break it down very clearly, and you give me your opinion. If you agree, disagree, different take, whatever it might be. So here's my Keaton Mitchell scenario. He has the upside of Devin Achane. Achane. Sorry, I still went back to it. I thought I had it. I was doing 100%, and then all of a sudden, we still went back to Achane. Upside of Achane, because of his explosiveness, this is somebody like I've been, and this is coming, and I'm not saying this to victory lap. This is coming from somebody that has promoted Keaton Mitchell as a flyer in drafts. This is somebody that's had Keaton Mitchell inside the waiver column almost the entire year, except when he got hurt. And at that point, I was like, if you really have to drop him, I get it. He's hurt. He's not even getting touches. So this is a fan of Mitchell. I also understand who the Ravens are. And in that game, Gus Edwards sat in the fourth quarter, barely played the second half. It was a lot of Justice Hill. And sure, like Justice Hill, Mitchell had an injury. You don't want to get Mitchell hurt. But the point being is Justice Hill is just not going to be evaporated. He's not going to get Thanos snapped out of existence. Like he's not going like poof, dust, gone. I think Mitchell gets past Hill and has more upside for Hill than Hill, but it's still a committee. I have Keaton Mitchell at 37 this week. He's also facing the Browns defense. Interestingly enough, Mini, I thought 37 was going to be the low man, and I'm ahead of most on consensus. So how do you feel about Keaton Mitchell?
Let me see where I have him. I have him at 39. Yeah, so we're in the same ballpark here. I like him. Everything that you just said, I mean, the explosiveness is there. You can see it firsthand, a 60-yard run, a 40-yard run. But I also agree that Gus Edwards is not going anywhere. He's got 6 rushing touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. He's clearly the goal line back there when it's not Lamar.
That's the biggest thing.
I definitely think that he is going to pass Justice Hill. I actually think that Justice Hill could go away a little bit. I know that
I have Hill behind Keaton Mitchell.
And I would have the rest of the way, too. Like, I know Harbaugh said he's in the rotation. He kind of said it tongue-in-cheek. Like, he's got to put him in the rotation when he busts off runs like that. But yeah, the ceiling is there, I think.
Yeah, but what did you say? What was the key word in there? You got to put him in the what? Rotation.
Rotation.
Yeah.
He has to be. He has to be inside the rotation. Yeah, he's got a ton of speed. I know you've talked about him a lot on the show. He's been on IR. We've talked about him as a great stash. And maybe in the second half, he could be a league winner to the point where he is like a flex guy for you. Maybe he can get into that RB2 conversation. But I think I'm always going to have Gus ahead of him because of they trust Gus in short yardage situations in the goal line back, but this is what they need, right? Don't you think? This is like that explosiveness that this Ravens offense is missing, like what they thought that they would have with J.K. Dobbins. This just hasn't been there over the past couple of years. So I'm excited about him. I know he's a hot waiver wire pickup. Maybe we cool it and we don't play him this week. We have him in the 30s, but he's a really good stash, and I think moving forward, he could be a difference maker for your fantasy squad. I'm excited about him.
Okay, well then let me ask on the flip side, are you just get back? Let's do it. Let's get all the people that are returning. Let's like hammer them all out. I was going to say Justin Fields for the end in case people are already listening on Friday, but go back to quarterbacks real quick. Justin Fields, is he in your top 10? I actually have him in front of Kyler Murray. I'm actually up there right back to back with Lamar Jackson. I go Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, Sam Howell, and that's Sam. But again, this comes down to the same scenario, I think, for Kyler Murray, is that I know Justin Fields has top five upside. I also know Justin Fields could go sideways in his first game back, and it's not a bad matchup at all. No. But I'm willing to risk it, but I understand not wanting to risk it. Like, it's crazy to say, Sam Howell is safer? Seattle's pass defense is actually pretty good, and I think a lot of people don't realize that. But safer, question mark? But would you put, you think Justin Fields is top 10? I'll make it that simple, yeah. Top 10.
I do think he's top 10, and I would play him over a guy like Kyler if you were sitting there wondering between the two guys, like Kyler.
What about Lawrence?
Quite some time. I would play him ahead of Lawrence, too, just because of the what you said. I mean, the ceiling is there, the upside with his legs, and it is a good matchup against Carolina. So I would lean with Fields over maybe some of these questionable guys. Like, we just don't know what to really expect from Kyler. Like, we know what the ceiling looks like, but I think it's still a risky play. I'd like to find another option, and Fields could be that option this week.
I wish right now there was a way to find out what the consensus opinion is on David Montgomery in his first game back, because whatever the consensus is, that's going to be the opposite of what happens, in my opinion. Like, if everybody's like, David Montgomery's back into the lead, he's the better play, it's going to be Jahmyr Gibbs. If everybody's like, it's going to be 50-50, Jahmyr Gibbs has upside, it's going to be the opposite. David Montgomery's going to get 80% of the workload. Like, it's just not what we're going to predict. But let's try to do it on this show. What the hell? I am saying David Montgomery is clearly back into the lead, but it's not the lead we knew before. However, a but and a however in the same sentence. However, I'm not worried because, similar to Gus Edwards, it's the goal line work. And I expect plenty of those opportunities against the Chargers. I think Dave Montgomery is a top 15 play, arguably top 10 right out of the gate back in his first game. But I still think now, given the use and what we saw while he was gone from Gibbs, I do think Gibbs is in play now as top 25 with him.
I do feel better about Gibbs. Yeah. It's not like at the start of the season where Montgomery missed one game and Gibbs was okay in that game. He was fine. But Montgomery came back. If you remember, it was a Thursday night football game and he had like 30 carries. They closed out the game. They were up by a bunch of points and they just gave him all the work, and they continued to give him all the work. But I think Gibbs has shown us enough, and the coaching staff, the team, over the past couple of weeks, like, hey, this guy deserves maybe 60-40 type of a split. Maybe it's in favor of him. I would say that it goes back to being Montgomery. I think that he's the lead. He's definitely the goal line back. And Gibbs is a RB2, right? I think these guys probably both RB2s this week, but the ceiling does still belong to Dave Montgomery. He's not going anywhere.
I'll give you some toss-ups.
Them too.
Yep. You ready for these? How about this? Yeah. David Montgomery versus Aaron Jones, and it happened for Aaron Jones finally, but Aaron Jones against Pittsburgh or David Montgomery against the Chargers, who would you start this week?
I would play Montgomery.
David Montgomery or Bijan Robinson.
Do the Falcons have again? Oh yeah,
Arizona.
I would play David Montgomery.
David Montgomery. Yes, there you go.
I'm not
David Montgomery.
Bijan
or Saquon Barkley against the Cowboys.
I would play David Montgomery. And poor Saquon.
You hit my threshold there. I'd still go Barkley because he's going to touch the ball 30 times. I mean, it might just be for nothing, but it's going to be. How about the greatest collection of quarterbacks in the history of forever? Tommy DeVito, Matt Barkley, and Jacob Eason, everybody.
You know what? I'm glad that Carson Wentz got a job, because I watched a lot of poor quarterback play last week, and I thought to myself, you know what? Wentz isn't this bad. What did Wentz do not to deserve a backup role across
the league? What? I just wish Matt Ryan was more like, I'm trying to think, like Jay Cutler. Like, because I know in the booth right now, if it was Jay Cutler in the booth, he'd be like, blank these dudes. I could go out there and like.
Right? Yeah.
Matt Ryan was terrible. Let's be clear. Carson Wentz was too. They were both god-awful last year.
Yeah, very bad.
But compared to what we've seen, They could have Ryan? Like, and I'm not an apologist. I think Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan like stop circulating around the drain or circling the drain for the past. Like, stop giving these guys jobs. Yeah. Find something. Yeah. Find a boost. Yeah. Like, I tweeted yesterday. I was like, the Giants should have just signed Malik Cunningham off the Patriots practice squad. Like, try something. Try something new. Something you might get a surprise. Like, don't go right back to the same. Jacob Eason, really? But anyway, you're not wrong in the fact that Carson Wentz is probably like, dude, like. I wonder if Carson Wentz, when he saw Jacob Eason sign, that's when he was like, hey, you know I'm still here. Like, I'll play.
He may have been watching that Rams and Packers game and, like, just watching that game and Brett Ripon just couldn't get the ball out of his hands to anybody.
Ripon? Did you say Ripon instead of Ripon?
I did say Ripon. Ripon passes into the dirt is all he did the entire game. And this is good news, I think, for – I mean, it's not fantastic overall. I spent a lot of time on it. But overall, I think the Rams, they probably didn't think the injury to Stafford was as significant. But this is better news. I know originally in a lot of my chats are like, oh, Cup season's over. Nakua season's over. And I just think that this is better with Wentz than Brett. This is no question. And you hope that Stafford comes back, come close to fantasy football playoff time.
You would hope that this is this is going to be bad. So one more. Derrick Henry against the Bucs run defense, who's not the greatest, like scared, but it's back to being worrisome, as we just saw last week. Would you go Derrick Henry or would you go David Montgomery?
I liked what I saw from Henry the past couple games with Levis under center. It seems like it's opened things up a little bit for him, but I still would go with David Montgomery. I like the Lions a lot, and I like him this week against the Chargers to score some points.
We do have some.
It's a risky. That's a risky play, though. Is it like Henry's a safer play this week?
Oh yeah, definitely safer. So. Yes.
Yeah.
There is a world.
Anything.
There is a world where first game back again. I told you, like, this is
shot to the rim.
It's Campbell. It's Campbell. Or I was going to just say even 5 carries for 13 yards and like that was it. He just like get eased back into the game like Jonathan Taylor's first game back. Like I could just it's going to be people are no matter what, we can guarantee one thing on this show. People are going to be ticked off come Sunday night about whatever happened with the Lions, no matter what. And they're just like, you can lock it in, guarantee. Breaking news, we might actually have an upgrade for the Patriots defense as J.C. Jackson is not traveling to Germany.
Oh my goodness.
So that's a I had to do that. Here, let's go back to running backs.
Makes sense.
And the return of, we also have the return of James Conner, assumably. Like, if you're listening to this after Wednesday when we're recording this, and they've already said, we're going to wait one more week. But assuming it sounds like James Conner is going to come back, is James Conner just like Kyler Murray and slap him right back into your lineup? He's facing Atlanta. Atlanta's defense is middle of the road. It's decent. It's a decent defense. All right. But James Conner is not losing. If he's back, he's not losing touches to Keonta Ingram, as we just saw last week. I mean, Dave Mercado showed off okay against the Ravens for all those touches that he had. But would you go James Conner right back into your lineup over an Alexander Mattison, over a James Cook, over a Gus Edwards?
Yes.
Yes.
All of those guys, yes. He was good before he went down with the injury. On
James Conner or Ramondre Stevenson?
Football team. I think I would go Ramondre there, but it's very close to me. But yeah, James Conner, I would expect him, if he's full go and active, he's going to get 20-plus opportunities.
You want to let me find. I want to make sure I get this right. I also tweeted it. If people might have already seen this. You want an insane stat, by the way. Like, I even looked at this and like, wait a whole second. So for yards per touch since week 5, Ramondre Stevenson's second in the league. Now, I mean, of course, minimum 20 carries. I think it was like 50 touches, 20 carries. I think is what I put as the number in there to make sure I got a good grasp of everybody. But yes. Second, Ramondre Stevenson. Second, like you would tell honest, you would never guess that. You would never. Stevenson said top 10.
Yeah, I mean he's more involved in the air like he was last year too, right? You see 6 targets, 5 catches, 6 targets, 6 catches, 4 and 2. But then last week 6 and 4. So he's had, you know, just over 100 receiving yards over the past couple of weeks. What I wanted to see at the start of the season.
You're going Stevenson over Connor. Let me throw out another one. Would you go Stevenson or Kenneth Walker? And I bring up Kenneth Walker. It was a bad matchup. Like, Kenneth Walker's had bad matchups. Like, let's just make that clear. But on the same scenario, like, if you watch the Seahawks games, and I'm sorry if you've suffered through some of these recent games and watched the entire thing like we have, but, you know, you got to, like, watch the entire game. I mentioned this on the waiver show because it's the worries, and I brought this up, and I brought up the fact that you and I sat here this time last year and brought up the same exact conversation I'm about to have. Kenneth Walker is inefficient between the tackles. It's the same concern he's had. I said it to Pat. I said it on the Athletic show. I've said it everywhere. And I want to be clear when I say, like, he's got Trent Richardson disease. He's not as bad as Trent Richardson. I'm not saying that. If he had some vision at all between the tackles, he'd be a top 10 running back. He's just not great all around because he doesn't always see the lanes. And he runs into lanes that he wants to try to create that aren't there. He doesn't take the gapping. I was going to say gaping hole, but it really isn't that big. Just like some slim holes that running backs like him should cut through. He hesitates, tries to bounce outside. It's the same thing we saw last year. It's Pete Carroll. Is Zach Charbonnet starting to get into the mix? Would you go Stevenson or Kenneth Walker? Like, how concerned are you about Kenneth Walker? It's a great matchup.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the last 2 weeks have been the worst possible matchups for him against Cleveland and Baltimore, like at least top five bad, right? So 8 for 66, it's like, oh, that worked out for you. But it didn't last week, 9 for 16. I'm concerned. I would play Ramondre over him, but I do believe that there's a real possibility that he can find the end zone. But moving forward, I'm concerned. Like, not even just this week, he may bounce back for you. And it's probably a bad time to trade him, like selling high after the first couple weeks when he was finding the end zone. But I look ahead. I see San Fran week 12. I see Dallas week 13. I see San Fran again week 14.
Oh, he's look at 15, Philly 16, week 15, 17.
And then he's got the Titans 16 and followed by the Steelers. So it is not a good schedule moving forward. Zach Charbonnet starting to get more run, like you said, playing more snaps.
Flip side, passing matchups for the playoffs is good.
Yeah, the passing
run game,
matchups.
Passing matchups not, good.
Run yeah, matchups. Not at all. So... against Washington, it's kind of middle of the pack. You hope that he finds the end zone, but I don't see the biggest concern for me, I guess, Jake, is the amount of work on the ground. Like, say the bad matchups, sure, but 8 carries and 9 carries, and then Charbonnet getting mixed in, hasn't been practicing in full really over the past couple weeks, so I don't know how healthy he is. But yeah, I have some concerns for him.
Barkley just wanted to come pop up on the show because, you know, a little late. We already had the conversation about you. All right, real quick before we get to wide receivers, there was two more scenarios I want to talk about. Again, if you're listening to this later, we've already talked Bears because that's what we're about to do. Chicago Bears. I have Khalil Herbert behind Deonta Foreman this week. Okay, so here's where I'm going with this. Khalil Herbert looked great. Game and a half. Got hurt. It was terrible timing. We were wanting Khalil Herbert to happen. It finally happened. He gets hurt. Here's the problem. I've brought this up in past years, and I've said this to you, meaning I said, like, when the lead is performing well, not great, because that's part of the, I'm making a differentiation here. When they've been playing well, and a player comes back not off IR, just injured, and they bring him back in what seems like, it might be a little bit early. It seems like, we were not sure. He sounds like he should play this week, and he does. Like I've said, in those kind of weird scenarios where it's like, they probably could have waited another week just to be safe, but they bring the player back. This has been David Montgomery in the past. And it's like they're going back to their lead because why do you bring the player back if the other one's performing well unless you're going right back to him? You would play it safe. This is different because he's coming off the IR. And Deonta Foreman has played great in his absence. I don't think they just go right away from Deonta Foreman and be like, Khalil Herbert's back. Let's just put him back in the lead. For this week and this week only, I think it could be 60-40 Foreman. Now, do I think Herbert can get back in the lead? Yes. But do I think that's a guarantee? No. Do I think it could be 50-50 the rest of the year? Also, yes. So I'm going Foreman at 22, and I have Khalil Herbert at 26. Very narrow gap, but do you think the gap should be bigger, flipped? What do you
think? No, I think it's fair. I do have Herbert one spot ahead. I have these guys side by side. I think obviously the clear loser here is Rashawn Johnson. He had an opportunity here over these 4 weeks to take control of that backfield. Unfortunately, he was only able to play 2 games and he hardly touched the ball last week. So even at the start of the season where they had Foreman as an inactive, I don't think they'll have Roshan as an inactive guy, but I think that this is Foreman and Herbert at the moment. I think this week we could see Foreman as the goal line back and maybe more touches, maybe more carries. Probably fair to have Foreman ahead of him, but I think that there's a real possibility that Herbert just, you know, he practiced in full yesterday. See if he practices in full today, the Thursday night football game. It does seem like a bit of a risky start, even though the matchup is so nice. But I could see maybe in the second half, Herbert busting off some real nice runs and maybe taking over as early as the second half. But I think moving forward, I mean, it's Herbert. Maybe it's 70-30 in favor of him.
Okay. Then let's talk about the Carolina running backs. because this was Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard is looking better, sometimes even behind Miles Sanders. Then he got the opportunity, looked pretty good until late, and started to fall back off. And then Miles Sanders gets back in the mix, including the passing game in the second half of last week's game. So now going forward against the Bears, who I mentioned are actually the highest in stuff percentage, which makes me more concerned for Sanders than I do for Hubbard, because you can get in space easier with Hubbard, although Sanders, to boil it all down, I have Hubbard at 25, still ahead of Miles Sanders, who Miles Sanders is down by 33. For some reason, I'm lower than most on Hubbard, but higher than most on Sanders. But my point in this is that I think the gap is very close now. Like, I think this was Hubbard while Sanders was out. But even when Sanders came back, I thought it was still clearly Hubbard. But now I think we're kind of in a narrow window here.
I think it could flip, or maybe just be straight up 50-50 this week. Because, I saw what you saw. Miles Sanders was getting more run in the fourth quarter. He was catching passes. That's what he did at the start of the season. And he was the lead at the start of the season. This is the guy that they paid to be the lead, almost a bell cow back of the first few weeks of the season. Then the injury happened for him. But Chuba Hubbard is just, he's never been efficient, man. So I just don't see where the ceiling is for him. And I get it, Carolina, the offensive line is not good. So Sanders is nowhere close to the same back that he was last year. I have Chuba ranked ahead of him as well, but I think Miles can catch enough passes to maybe, I don't know. I can't give that advice. I don't think he should start him, but I think he could be finished as like a top 34 back this week, just in a full point PPR league.
Okay.
Well, I can't tell people to start Miles. Like, you can't start Miles. You just can't.
No,
you can't do that at the moment, because this is not good.
Well, so here's the problem too. So I'm going to pull this into wide receivers as we get some wide receivers before we get out of here. I saw Christian Watson's name in here. I'm going to compare Christian Watson, what I said about him, to these running back scenarios. Like, you can't start Miles Sanders. And if you could get anything in a trade, I would even consider it, because you can't start him. What if it's 50-50? They, you know, touches are 50-50, but Miles Sanders happens to score the touchdown. Do you really trust that's going to repeat next week? Like, would you go back and start Miles Sanders next week? You'd probably hesitate. And then what if he has a bad game? Well, now you can't got to wait for another good. And that was the same thing I brought about Christian Watson. That's why I said I would actually drop Christian Watson. It was a sabotage drop. Like, let somebody else see Christian Watson's name and be like, oh, I'll go pick up Christian Watson. Cool. Because here's what I said. And it's the same thing with Miles Sanders. You essentially need back-to-back good games to trust him, because, like I said, you have one good game, you're still gonna be like, eh, like, maybe. And then what happens if he has one good game? You put him in the lineup, but he has a terrible game. Now you're back, it's rinse or repeat. You're going back to him and be like, well, now I can't start him until I see a good game again. So now you've missed the good game, you've taken the bad game, and you're waiting again for another good game, which you're going to miss again. So essentially, like, you're 0-3 here. Like, and that's why I'm saying drop Watson, trade Sanders. I mean, obviously try to trade Christian Watson, but that's why I'm just done with these kind of players where it's almost like you're going to guess wrong 2 out of 3 times versus guessing right.
I got to take a big L again on Christian Watson, right?
We all did. The entire industry did. Nobody had Christian Watson as like 50, 60, 70 as wide receiver.
No, had him as like a, you know, a low end 2, high end 3, but just like upside. I know that it was a very small sample size down the stretch of the season with Aaron Rodgers, but everything that I saw, I liked. It's mixed in. There's a bunch of factors here with the Packers. It's the play calling of Matt LaFleur and the slow starts. This team is awful in the first half of games. It's Jordan Love and his inability to get the football to anybody. And then it's Christian Watson's inability to stay healthy. Honestly, it's like 3 straight weeks. This guy, even LaFleur says yesterday, he's dealing with back and chest issues. It's like every game there seems to be something that he is dealing with at the moment. So I like the sabotage drop. People talking about picking him up and stashing him. I mean, sure, if you want to do that, but what you said, I think, will stick with me, is that you're just kind of playing that guessing game of when it's going to be. There'll be a high ceiling game, great, and then the next week, it's just like he disappears. So he's not anybody that you can trust. I would trust any Packer in my lineup, maybe just Aaron Jones at the moment.
The difference with Tank Dell and Nico Collins and Gabe Davis and, well, years past of Tyler Lockett, not really so much now, but it's just like you just kept them in your lineup every single week because you're a wide receiver 3 or 4, and you knew it was coming. Like, who knows if it's even ever going to come at this point? Yeah. Here's one. How benchable is this player? I was shocked that I was 10 under consensus on this player. Shocked. And the name, look, I made the apology to go ahead and say, like, look, the target's going to be there from Aidan O'Connell. He's facing the Giants. But that was the Giants, and now he's got Sauce Gardner, who is clearly still one of the best in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And if you think Sauce Gardner is going to face like, I know he primarily plays left, but Davante Adams is like only going to get, best case scenario, Davante Adams gets away from him 50% of the time. Best case. Davante Adams still led the team in target percentage last week. 28%. It was still there from Aiden O'Connell. But I have Adams behind, and at 27, I have him behind Cortland Sutton, Chris Godwin, Deebo Samuel, Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, assuming Zay Jones is back, to be clear. Deontay, Marquise Brown up from there. I'm way up on Marquise Brown with Kyler Murray back. Tank, Michael Pittman, DJ Moore. Like, and now I'm just going up. Now I'm still at the top 15. Look at my list. Is there anybody, including the name right in front of him, which I left for last, John Dotson with no Curtis Samuel. Like, at this point, and this has nothing to do with the fact that I want to be right about John Dotson. We were wrong about John Dotson until the midpoint of the season.
It's starting to get going here. He's going to win us some consolation brackets.
Is there any of those names you would have Davante Adams over?
I would even probably play Gabe Davis ahead of him. Maybe against even Denver. Jerry Jeudy. Maybe even Jordan Addison. I really like Dobbs, man, throwing the ball to Jordan Addison and throwing the ball to T.J. Hockenson. So that guy couldn't even name four guys in the offensive huddle.
My concern about Addison is, who is Lattimore going to? Lattimore is going to Addison.
He's still move him around a little bit, though.
Lattimore will chase him.
I will take Addison versus Lattimore versus Adams and Sauce because of the quarterback play. I wouldn't play Adams. All these guys.
Here's the difference.
This question here. All those wide receivers that he just mentioned, I play them all over Davante Adams. It's the quarterback play, man. The quarterback play is brutal. Aiden O'Connell's not good.
And the Jets are
phenomenal.
How about the one right behind him? Would you go Amari Cooper against the Ravens? Really?
Cooper. Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far, clearly.
I have more faith in Deshaun Watson to get the football to him. I do.
If there is no Zay Jones, Christian Kirk clearly in front of him. There's no question about that.
It's tough, man. We know that Adams' ceiling is fantastic, but just people said this last week. I'm not saying you or anybody else, but I heard it all over the place. Oh, you know, new coaching change. Adams is going to eat. Adams is going to pop off. He's going to get all the looks.
If I see one more damn clip of them smoking cigars in the locker room,
God. These guys, they celebrated like the Timberwolves when they won a play-in game in a few years ago. These guys were all excited, and I get it. They're fired up. McDaniels is gone. Did you see the clip at the basketball game when Adams was talking to the NBA ref and he's like, "Oh man, I was at the game yesterday. You guys looked awesome." And Adams like, "Yeah, man, it's going to change now. Things are going to be good now." That was a cool clip, and I believe that they think that as well. But the at the end of the day, they still have an awful quarterback under center. So, and this matchup is just, it's not good, man. The Jets have made, think about all the quarterbacks that the Jets have made look silly. Even just the other night, I didn't think Herbert was great in that game. He's okay. His defense won in the football game. But Hurts, Mahomes, Allen, these are quarterbacks that played the Jets, and they all look very, very silly playing the Jets. So I think this is going to be a long day for O'Connell, and it'll be like 12 points combined.
All right, last before we get out of here, just because I want to ask you on this one, and again, follow Chris Meany at Chris Meany, all in, get you 20% off at FTN, Athletic. Tons of free promo stuff, not free, but discounts if you click on any of the articles. Yeah. Before we get out of here, we already talked Watts and everything like that. The last one is, I am really concerned if there is no Josh Downs. Let me make that part clear. If there's no Josh Downs, I'm really concerned about Michael Pittman. And I actually have a little bit of a concern anyway, because it's Gardner Minshew. It's the, London game. It's actually the Germany game. But what do we say all the time? Bill Belichick has one trick on defense. One, he takes away your one best player. He did it to Terry McLaurin, even with J.C. Jackson. And Jackson's not coming now. I jokingly, tongue in cheek, said upgrade for the defense. I mean, he's been miserable, but Michael Pittman's the one you take away. I say that because obviously Jonathan Taylor would be the one to take away, but you're not going to take away Jonathan Taylor. So you kind of look at, well, we're in the passing game. You're taking away Pittman. You're not taking away Downs, even if he plays. If Downs is out, what, Isaiah McKenzie? Really? Alec Pierce? No, you're going to take away Pittman. I have Pittman at 17, and I still feel like that's too high, and yet that's super low to compare to consensus. Where are you on Michael Pittman this week?
Yeah, the consensus is 12. That is just ridiculous. I have him a little bit lower than you. I would play Tank Dell, Hollywood Brown, Deontay Johnson.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
Those guys. You're not crazy at all. We've been saying this all year about Bill Belichick, and I mean, we've been saying it for years. Rinse and repeat. And I think Gardner Minshew has been, he's had some okay moments, but he's been pretty careless with the football too. So this is a game that I think he'll I think he'll struggle. I think this will be a low-scoring game, too. Okay. I'd like to see Downs play. That'd be better for Pittman.
I would love to see Downs back out there just because I love watching Josh Downs, and I love some Tank Dell.
He finds open space, man. He's been a good wide receiver this year.
Yeah. Like, shout out to the little wide receivers. It's fun to see them. And shout out to Chris Meany and his hockey picks over at FTN. At Chris Meany, I'm at All In Kid. Go complain about my top 20 soundtracks of video games because that's always fun. It's fun complaining. You can be mean to me when it comes to the fun ranks. The regular ranks, be a little bit nicer, maybe. Please. I don't know. I don't care. Broccoli needs to go outside. So do I. Bathroom time. Yay. We'll be right back.